What we do in life echoes in eternity.
You will once again be fighting for our freedom. Not from tyranny, oppression, or persecution, but from annihilation. We're fighting for our right to live.
From the WSFI studio in Libertyville, Illinois, this is Pro-Life Today with your host, Joe Scheidler.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Pro-Life Today. I'm your host, Joe Scheidler, and my guest today is Lynn Mills from Livonia, Michigan. Lynn and I have known each other since early 80s when she called me up to get active. And Lynn has been very active in Michigan.
I wanted your guidance and wisdom, too.
Oh, yeah, sure. Lots of that. Anyway, when Lynn called me, I was really just kind of finishing my family. We had our seventh child, Matt, and he was crying in the background, and Lynn was just getting started. And she went on to have three gorgeous daughters and a handsome son, and we've been friends for these many years since the early 80s. Lynn, we have done a couple of films that were made from seven conferences that we had with former abortionists. Meet the Abortion Providers and Abortion the Inside Story. We got to know the abortionists, and we've been able to convert one or two, but we've also had the former abortionists come to Chicago, come to our different meetings around the country. Tony Levitino, people that many people maybe haven't heard of yet, but these were people who did abortions and decided to quit. And so on our website, prolifeaction.org, you can actually get these films of Meet the Abortion Providers and Abortion Inside Story. But you've had a very interesting career in finding out about the abortionists. Yes. And convincing them that it's not a good job to have to kill babies. That doctors take an oath, first of all, I will do no harm. They actually mention twice in the Hippocratic Oath that they will not perform abortion or cause an abortion. And yet they've taken that out of their oath now because so many doctors are doing abortions. Although my brother's a doctor, and he says a lot of doctors won't do abortions, but they may refer to someone. Tell us some of your experience with former abortionists and with discovering the abortion doctors.
Well, the one biggest one I had was a clinic worker, and she joined in a lawsuit against me when we had injunctions going all over the area. And remember the map you had? If you're not on this map, you're doing something wrong if you don't have a lawsuit or an injunction against you.
Yes.
Well, do you remember Deborah Henry?
Yes, very well.
Beautiful redheaded young lady, and she was suing me, and she said, go away, we need to eat, you know, we need the money. And one day she said, can I meet with you? And she wanted to know how to get out of that industry. And in fact, Deborah was the first ex-abortion male worker to get arrested praying on the steps of the Supreme Court. And you were there, Joe. National Day of Rescue in 1989, we did a rescue at the abortion mill she was at, and she stood at the back door with her arms stretched out over it saying, nobody's getting into this unless through me. Well, she got arrested, but just seeing her up there, seeing her fall apart into the arms of Don Treshman, weeping uncontrollably for her role in what she did. And I know Abby Johnson is out there now doing her best to save one more soul. What about if there are all these abortionists, well, not enough, that have quit? How about the abortion mill workers? We know some of them get in there for 6 months and they leave on their own. They leave without us. I think there's a whole different segment of this population that has been affected by abortion that we're not even really addressing. They didn't know what they got into. They got in and then they got out. Some of them never get out. Some of them are sucked in. They're blinded. The pay as well. But that's pretty much what I've been involved with the abortionist. What I'm trying to do right now is encourage them in a different way to quit through using the legal restrictions against them. laws are tightening up all over the country. Right to Life helped push a law into effect that you had to be like a freestanding outpatient surgical facility, which is only logical if you care about women's lives. And so when that happened, all these abortion mills just dropped off. They quit. There are about 12 to 14 left in our state compared to 33 in the Tri-County area back in the 80s. But what I'm doing now is working with what the laws, what the restrictions are, and I file complaints and allegations on them. I do the Chicago style of sidewalk counseling. I've just taken it a few steps further. I keep doing the research. I go to the courts. I go to the corporation papers. And then I find their holes, and sometimes they're gaping holes. And we use legal documents, their own evidence against them, and write a complaint. And when the state comes in and does a survey and says the narcotics count log is gone, the narcotics, all of this stuff with narcotics, that seems to be a big thing. And they lay it out for you, they cite the section and the order. I'll take that, turn it around, and write a complaint against the abortionist according to what the state, who is allowed and required to go inside, does. I take that and I just rewrite it. I give credit to the source, the state investigators, and 90% of the time, they accept that as a credible complaint allegation against the abortionist, and they're investigating. What do they think is going on when narcotics go missing? Expired, non-expired, when they're not locked up at night? And this is evident in the surveys. How come it takes somebody like me to go back in to make the state do what they should do? Who is taking those drugs? Where are they going?
Yes, there are so many infractions of the law, of health regulations, and so on. And it's so difficult to get somebody interested in it. Fortunately, in the early days in Chicago, I became friends with the head of the health department.
Well, that helps.
Made the rules. We became close friends. He was pro-life. And so I was able one time to walk into an abortion clinic and on Irving Park Road in Chicago with an inspector. And we knew they didn't have a license. Mm-hmm. They were operating, doing abortions, without a license. And so we walked in, and the inspector said, I want to see your license. And they said, oh, well, we've applied for it. He said, you are operating an abortion clinic, and that's what he called it, a health facility. But he said abortion clinic without a license, and he said, you are closed.
Oh, wow. How
as
thrilling.
Of this minute. So they did. Remember the women walking out of the clinic, and it was over, and they put a notice on the door? And they were closed for probably 2 weeks, but it was a tragic thing happened, and yet I've written this in a book that will be coming out. Maybe it's out.
Okay.
Nobody said anything to me. But the woman that ran was the administrator of the abortion clinic, a very pretty young woman, decided to go skydiving, to jump out of a plane with a parachute. While her clinic was closed. And when she jumped out, the chute didn't open.
Oh, no.
And her auxiliary chute didn't open, and she was killed. And so I remember that I read in the obituary column, I looked for her name, and there it was, and she was having a Requiem High Mass.
Oh, really?
Being said. Well, this put me in a bind.
God.
Because what do you do? Here's a Catholic young woman being buried in the church when she had been operating an abortion clinic. So I called the pastor, and I said, Father, you really cannot bury Sue because she was running an abortion clinic. And that's an automatic excommunication.
Mm-hmm.
Some people don't know that. But she was excommunicated for running an abortion clinic or having anything to do with abortion, with a procured abortion, and they were certainly procured there. So the funeral was canceled.
Okay.
And I felt bad about it, but it had to be done. Otherwise, people get the wrong message.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's always this question about, well, the church is changing. The church is changing on this and that, and they're not. The Catholic Church doesn't change. Contraception is still immoral. The use of artificial contraception, people don't maybe know about it, but it's a mortal sin, and still is. And so burying this young woman who ran an abortion clinic and handed out contraceptives and so on, it would be sending a wrong message totally to have her buried with a Catholic funeral. So they did cancel it. And I called the mother because I felt very bad about this. And her husband had died less than a year before mm-hmm. her daughter was killed. And so I called her and said that I was praying for Sue and I hoped that everything was all right, that she had made an act of contrition. And one of the daughters picked up the phone and said, "We're suing you."
Oh, really?
So I very quickly called a lawyer and I said, "What can they sue me for?" He said, "Nothing. It's just a threat." But it was a sad situation, and these people have to get out of this. When Christ said, "Be ye perfect," he met everybody. He met everybody. He met the abortionist. He met the people who are same-sex marriage. He met everybody. You know, we're going to have to take a little break here, as we always have to do, to let them have a few minutes. But we'll be right back. I'm talking to Lynn Mills from Livonia, Michigan. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Hello, I am Bishop Don Hying from the Diocese of Gary, Indiana. Catholic Radio has a remarkable reach into the minds and hearts of all sorts of people who may not be going to church, who may not have any other connection to learning about the faith. I know so many people have grown in the Catholic faith because they listen to Catholic Radio.
WSFI is committed to bringing quality Catholic programs to our local community, but we only can do that with your financial help. Please take a moment now to donate online at WSFIRadio.org or mail your tax-deductible donation to WSFI Catholic Radio, P.O. Box 885, Libertyville, Illinois, 60048. That's P.O. Box 885, Libertyville, Illinois, 60048. Donations of any amount are greatly appreciated.
Are you retired or near retirement? Do you want to keep a larger amount of your assets in a safe place with guaranteed interest rates to protect yourself from a huge market swing? Are you amazed at how low the interest rates are at your bank? If you said yes to any or all of those questions, you may want to call me, Matt Tomlinson, at Catholic Financial Life to discuss our guaranteed fixed rate annuities. Call 847-548-MATT, 847-548-6288. Products not available in all states.
Join WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio, Lake County Right to Life, and Catholic Financial Life for the Lake County Catholic Breakfast on Saturday, September 12th, beginning at 8 o'clock a.m. with registration, followed by Holy Mass and breakfast at Prince of Peace Parish in Lake Villa, Illinois. The theme of this year's breakfast is marriage and family, and will feature Clark Forsyth, Senior Counsel at Americans United for Life, a keynote address from Auxiliary Bishop for the Archdiocese of Chicago, George Rassus, a member of the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops National Pastoral Initiative on Strengthening Marriages Subcommittee, and Master of Ceremonies, Chicago Bears, Patrick McCaskey. Individual tickets are $25 and exhibit tables are $100. To register your group or organization for the event, visit WSFIRadio.org or call 847-223-7022. That's 847-223-7022.
Okay, this is Joe Scheidler back on Pro Life Today. My guest today is Lynn Mills from Livonia, Michigan. Lynn is a marked woman because she got active in the pro-life movement way back in the 1980s. And when Lynn shows up, people pay attention.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, they didn't like the fact that I was taking a current death certificate, because the women going in, oh, that was 10 years ago, or that was 2 years ago. When you bring a current up-to-date death certificate, they stop and they pay attention. In fact,
now tell us about the death certificate you're bringing.
Her first name's Chloe. Her family's very upset. They wanted to sue. I never would have found out about her death unless they sued.
Now, how did she die?
You know where your liver is? It's up here under the rib cage. It's protected by the rib cage because it's an organ. How do you take the instrument for killing a baby and puncture somebody's liver? Not going to say too much more except, was he high? I don't know. I don't know how you go that far wrong. And then he put her in an ambulance as a Jane Doe. So they couldn't contact her family. He said he didn't start the abortion, which was a lie. So she was bleeding internally. She was in a coma for 8 to 10 days. I don't have the facts in front of me. And she died. And just this past January, coincidentally, her death date is around January 22nd.
Yes.
Her sister's posting pictures of her gravesite on Facebook. And it just breaks your heart that they grieve. Her mother still weeps endlessly for this daughter who's gone.
Yes. And we've had our cases here over the years, Tanya Reeve, others who have been allowed to bleed to death.
We believe that the abortionist who Mandy Gittler, is in Michigan now aborting children. So she's the one that they believe killed Tanya Reeves.
Yeah, they move around.
Oh, yeah, right. Have license will travel.
We had an abortionist that we used to picket on Michigan Avenue, and he was a young man, young doctor. He killed a woman in an abortion and went to jail. He went to jail for it. It's been a couple of years in jail, and then was released, and we didn't hear much about him except one time I was giving a talk at the Moody Bible Institute in Chicago, and I happened to mention how lucrative the abortion business is, and I mentioned this doctor who had killed a girl and then gone to jail, and it turned out that he was working there for the church.
Oh.
And I said, this man's an abortionist. And he was back doing abortions. He'd converted for a while, and then he'd gone back to abortion. So I don't know what he was. He was like part-time usher or something.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, well, we're going to have to picket Moody Bible.
Yeah.
But he got his walking papers. But it is so tragic how these doctors get away with murder.
Right, and that's why we want to go after them using their own laws. Find out from the state of Illinois or Wisconsin how to file an allegation against any doctor. It doesn't have to be an abortionist, but we're going after the abortionist.
Yes.
And then do your research at the courthouses, FOIA, the local police departments, the 911 calls, wherever they're at. Get the information from these FOIA request and find the victims, encourage the victims themselves. It holds so much more water when the actual victim files the allegation. Just like with Chloe, this woman who died, I don't know how much weight the complaint is because she's dead unless her family files, but even then that's like a degree away. Jessica Dunn, who recently had an abortion, a botched abortion, filed a complaint, and they're taking that complaint very seriously. So what we can do, another avenue as pro-life activist, is get the dirt on them, which isn't hard to do, and go to the state, and if they reject your complaint, write it up in a different form. I'm not saying encouraging to lie or fib or anything, just perfect it, make it better, change it, until they start paying attention. There are things and information you can get out there. Every licensed abortion mill has to have a survey. They have to have inspectors. We didn't have this until 2014. None of these abortion mills were inspected. And now we're getting all this evidence, and like I said earlier, we're using it against them.
Years ago, we were able to get the Chicago Sun-Times interested in doing a series on the abortionists,
mm-hmm.
the abortion clinics. And it ran 23 days. It was a front page story. Remember that?
Yeah.
Meet the Abortion Profiteers.
Wasn't there a Michigan connection with that, too?
Yes, yes. And it was amazing when people found out how bad things were. Clinics were closed down. Inspections were begun. But it is like pulling teeth to get them to inspect an abortion clinic. We have had one in Chicago that has its license removed, but it goes on operating.
I don't know, if we drove our car without a license, there'd be trouble.
The clinics get special treatment. I don't know if what the problem is, if it's just the idea that abortions are necessary and so they're going to have them one way or another. The abortion clinic should have the same health regulations and regulations for sanitation and so on that any medical facility should have, but they don't.
No.
They don't. We've known that for years, and so that's part of our work. And whether they pay attention to our efforts or not, people have to fight this evil. We have, as you do, you go out to the clinics, check up on the doctors, you do everything you can. We have our Face the Truth tours. We have go to the clinics with prayer vigils.
Mm-hmm.
We set up all kinds of altars, and we've taken the statue of Blessed Virgin Mary out to the clinics. This enormous statue they have, 33 feet tall, made out of steel. They've had the Divine Mercy painting, a very large painting that's been right across the street from the abortion mill. And we've had round the clock 40 days for life. There's so many things that people can get involved in the abortion battle. And I think we have to do all those things.
Yes.
And so you become a marked person. I mean, I expect it. If I show up, the cops, I've been arrested I don't know how many times, and people will say, what for? And I say, I have no idea.
Yeah.
And you have too, I'm sure. I asked one police officer, he came over, he said, you're under arrest. And I said, what's the charge? He said, we'll think of something.
Yeah. Well, Joe, it got to the point where I would just wear dresses to the abortion mill, so that if I did get arrested, I could maintain my modesty, because they have TVs on the toilets in case you want to kill yourself. So this pro-lifer is going to get arrested and kill. So, you know, when you see me wearing a dress at the abortion mill, I'm thinking it's going to happen. They're going to arrest me, and I will be there to protect my modesty.
How many times have you been arrested?
Only four times.
Oh, four times. Okay.
Not a lot, but they're always threatening. It's just... I come armed with the truth and the evidence of wrongdoing, aside from the obvious fact that killing babies in the womb is wrongdoing. But I show up with the reports on the sexual assault from the abortionist onto the patient who is being victimized at least twice now. And so they don't like the truth being out there. They just want us to disappear.
They hate the truth. Yeah, they hate the truth. That's why we call our tours Face the Truth.
Yeah.
Because that is the truth. And the fellow that I was, that really got me more active, was John Ryan from St. Louis.
Oh, really?
Remember John?
Yeah.
Well, John had, first of all, he had a friend in the judiciary there in St. Louis. John would get arrested every day.
Mm-hmm.
On his way to work, John would go to the abortion mill and stand right in front of the door, so nobody could get in. And he would be arrested. He'd be taken to court, and he would use the defense of necessity that he had to stand in front of that door to keep someone from being killed. And the judge would grant him the legal defense of necessity.
Wow.
And then he'd go to work. You'd only be a few minutes late, but he would stay late. He was arrested over 400 times when I met him. And I thought, well, I'll never... I don't have a friend. Missouri was a very active pro-life state. Many of our leaders came from there. Sam Lee and John Ryan and others, that Mary Mashmeyer, a whole group of wonderful people there who are still active to this day. Sam went more into legislature.
John still goes to the mill.
Yeah, John still goes to the mill. In fact, I was with them not too long ago, and he's the same old John Ryan, still talking to the women. And it's funny, he's found out that if he talks from a certain place, he can be heard as though he's standing right next to you.
Really?
At the entrance to the abortion mill. There's only one abortion clinic still operating in St. Louis, and John's out there every day, time they do abortions. So it's a battle. It's a fight. It's the war of our time is a war on the innocent.
Yes.
All over the world. I don't care what you pick up. The innocent people are being run out of their homes in Afghanistan, and the people that are living out in the deserts, and their families have been divided. And whatever you read, there's great suffering going on in our world today. And here in America, one of the greatest is the suffering that was inflicted upon us by our own Supreme Court.
Yes.
Roe v. Wade, Doe v. Bolton were cut from whole cloth. They're not, they would have shocked our founding fathers to death to think that human life is so cheap in this country. And so I think it's very important that we continue this fight and continue to encourage people. Get into it. Get active.
Right.
It's part of your calling,
right.
I think.
There is some place for you. And if it's with adoration, specifically praying for us who are out there on the front lines, do it. If it's working in an office, do it. If it's coming out and helping me, if it's taking water, there is some place for everybody. And with everybody having computers today, I say start that dirt digging and get the information. Find somebody. If you can't or won't do it, write the allegations. We can get them with their own weapons. We can use the state against the state.
Well, Lynn, before we sign off, would you give a contact information to our listeners?
Okay, thank you for that, Joe. The best way to contact me is my name, Lynn, L-Y-N-N, Ann, A-N-N, Mills, M-I-L-L-S, at AOL.com. That's Lynn Ann Mills. At AOL.com.
Well, thanks again, Lynn, so much for coming in from Michigan and
thank you for
being with us
me.
Today. That's all the time we have. Thanks again.
This was good, Joe. Thank you. You are a blessing.
Well, join us next week, listeners, on Pro-Life Today. Till then, from all of us at WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio, I'm Joe Scheidler. Thanks for listening.
Looking at term life insurance? Consider life insurance from Catholic Financial Life and see how we put Catholic values in action. To learn more, call Matt Tomlinson at 847-548-MATT. 847-548-6288.
Prayer for protection of religious liberty. From the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops. O God, our Creator, from your provident hand we have received our right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. You have called us as your people and given us the right and duty to worship you, the only true God, and your Son, Jesus Christ. Through the power and working of your Holy Spirit, you call us to live out our faith in the midst of the world, bringing the light and the saving truth of the gospel to every corner of society. We ask you to bless us in our vigilance for the gift of religious liberty. Give us the strength of mind and heart to readily defend our freedoms when they are threatened. Give us courage in making our voices heard on behalf of the rights of your church and the freedom of conscience of all people of faith. Grant, we pray, O Heavenly Father, a clear and united voice to all your sons and daughters gathered in your church in this decisive hour in the history of our nation, so that with every trial withstood and every danger overcome, for the sake of our children, our grandchildren, and all who come after us, this great land will always be one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.